This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Hi, my name is Leanne Barda, and I'm here to teach you all about independent living skills. Please join me on Kelly and Ramya.
Ah, the feel of spring in the air, in the ground. So therefore, it's so apropos as independent living skills specialist Leanne Barda kicks off our growing season with accessible tips for marking, spacing, planting, and protecting your garden. We always need to do that. Leanne, welcome back. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm finally enjoying the nice sunlight and glad that I've been able to shed the winter coat and come down to just wearing a sweater. And with that, you know, I'm thinking about my garden planters and all the possibilities this year.
Okay, so there's a lot to get to, organization, especially as you get started. But I have to ask, does the time change act as such a, especially when it's early, you know, as it is, or Easter, something make you feel that extra special that it is that time now to get into the garden?
Oh yeah. As soon as it starts to get warmer and the sunlight is getting longer during the day and, you know, we're getting less and less frost, it makes you kind of think about what should be coming up next with your garden. So, right now I'm just kind of waiting for the last frost so I can get some of my new seeds and bulbs into my balcony planters.
Okay. So in the meanwhile, let's talk about organization and including labeling.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when you're thinking about gardening, there's, especially when you have site loss, you kind of have to be a little bit more organized and you have to figure out what things are going to make my garden accessible so I can tell what's what during the year and so that I can manage it and keep it growing strong. So the first thing you want to do is sort of label and organize all your tools and materials that you're going to need to garden and sort of keep them in a consistent and organized place. So if you have a caddy, if you have a gardening apron, if you have a tool shed, you know, if you always put things back in the same place, when you go to do the next task, it'll be way less frustrating and you'll be able to get to it a lot quicker.
So when you do the labeling, because we're talking in this case, let's say we're talking outside or just watering purposes, there has to be a certain durability, doesn't it, for whatever you're putting down so that you can come along and read it. You're going to smudge it with your soily fingers and so on.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you want to have markers that'll have staying power. So popsicle sticks that you can sort of laminate. There's all kinds of lamination stuff that you can pick up now from either online or dollar stores. And then, you know, it creates like a waterproof seal on it. Even those Braille Dymo labelers, those are really helpful. Yeah. Because the labels are automatically waterproof because they're on that rubbery kind of paper when you print them. So that always helps. With the popsicle sticks, you know, you can always do the black Sharpie thing and then maybe put something over it so that the marker won't run.
When it comes to the... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that what do you recommend when it comes to keeping track? Because we know we're going to forget. We can't always tell by our fingers what seed this is, what plant this is for, what I'm going to use. And especially if you put it all together and you have stuff left over, you're not using everything for later, or, you know, next year.
Exactly. So, you know, little mason jars with Braille audio or large print labels on them that you can keep. So you know exactly where things are, those little baby food jars that people have, anything that's going to be able to keep the seeds in a safe place so that they don't get wet and moist when you don't want them to. So having, you know, a system like that to keep things consistent. If you do keep things in their packaging, you know, maybe even put those in the mason jar. So then you have just a little bit of extra identification. So if you want to use like an app like Seeing AI or Be My Eyes, at least you'll have some another form of identification.
How about remembering where things are? Like, is it silly to suggest making some kind of roadmap or something, if you want to call it that?
Oh yeah, for sure. So having, you know, a sort of like a, I don't know, legend of sorts. So you know that, you know, I always keep the little trowels and the shovels and the rakes on the left-hand side. And in the center, I keep my watering apparel. And then on the right, I have I keep all my seeds kind of labeled and in order.
Okay, very good. All right, so what kinds of gardening considerations should we be thinking about?
So if you're actually going to be gardening outside and you have either like a raised bed or you actually do have some green space that you can garden in your yard, either the front or the back, you want to try thinking about things like using landscaping fabric, mulch, or corrugated cardboard around your plants and seedlings. It just helps the weeds from staying out, and it gives you sort of like a landmark which you can kind of follow, you know, the layout of your garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, by using these, you're kind of reducing your need to weed and water as frequently. So it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit of a win there.
Yeah, it's kind of the double purpose thing when you're talking about it, as well as that guide for you, so you're not missing and stepping on stuff. Now, would you plan it out? I mean, this is me. I would love stuff that I could smell, not necessarily just so I could find the stuff, but that's what I would want, a lot of sensory. I think I've mentioned that before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you can plan a sensory garden. So things like mint or lavender, geraniums, roses, things with texture like lamb's ear, you know, that's a really nice soft plant. So those, you can kind of plant those in your garden and they'll make it smell like cilantro is another nice one. And a lot of them are useful too, you know? So if you like mint, you could have mint iced tea, or you can brew the leaves for mint tea, or all kinds of different things. Mojitos.
Nice. Oh, that's great. Oh, well, that's what I like. I think that's wonderful to be able to say, I just pulled this out of my garden. I'm using it for my, you know, Saturday night drink if I'm sitting outside smelling my sensory garden. Now, again, I go back to stepping on things or whatever. How do we keep things straight? I mean, it's got to be a little visually appealing, but also for convenience. I couldn't mow a lawn in a straight line if you paid me to. What should you do to help with guides?
Right. So you can use things like planking or longboards, specific types of rocks, or even bricks to mark off the outer edges of your garden or your raised bed, just to kind of keep it accessible and to have like a separation between the lawn and the play areas and your garden. Sometimes people, you know, if you have some residual vision, you can get some nice stones that you can paint in brighter colors, and then you can use those to mark out the outer edges of your garden. And always make sure that you have like a pathway in between the plants. So if you do have to get in there and weed, or if you have to get in there and harvest, then you have some accessible pathways so you don't crush your poor plants.
Okay. And I know it's a luxury if you have the space where you can kind of have things spread out enough so you can get on in there. But there's other ways we've got to think about too in this whole process to protect things, whether, you know, something getting into the garden or even from our, you know, own hands and trying to keep or plants from encroaching on each other. What things do you have for us to suggest?
Yeah, so you can create your own row markers. You can use, by running strings between stakes, and then you can secure an old tennis ball or other tactile reminders at the top of each stake, so you can identify, oh, this is the carrot row, these are my tomatoes, these are my herbs. So you kind of know, you know, by following the string, that if you follow that particular aisle, you'll know exactly what's where.
Man, that's amazing. Anything you should do between your plants to separate, anything like that to either help you or help make sure that they're keeping enough distance for growing?
You know, there are some plants that do really well together. So like, I know there's a certain, I think it's called nasturtiums, I believe. If you plant them near your tomato plants, it'll keep the bugs away. So
okay.
you could put like companion plants together.
Right. Okay. What about our tools for ease of finding them? Because there's nothing like tripping over that. Oh, that's where that trowel is.
Yes, exactly. So always put it back in your caddy as soon as you're done, and then bring it back to get it cleaned off, because you don't want to start with the muddy tools. The next time you go to do something, you always want to start fresh. So, you know, maybe if you have a little garden bucket that you bring with you to put your used tools in, and then, you know, you can bring them to wherever you have your hose so you can rinse it all off and then put them back in their proper spots.
So as a blind person, love to get my hands down and dirty and stuff like that, but there is a certain level of protective gear for certain reasons that we should be protecting ourselves, and where we just sort of can't say, well, just get your hands, get up there, get up to your elbows in this.
Right, exactly. So, you know, with fertilizers and certain chemicals, you want to have And then there's certain plants that are really prickly and they don't feel nice on your hands, the tomato plant, especially if it's kind of hanging and you have to adjust it when you touch it with your bare hands. There's a lot of really uncomfortable spiky material on it. Mm. So if you have protective gloves that have like the little rubber grips on them, that could be also like waterproof. And then maybe some safety goggles as well, especially if you're dealing with chemicals and fertilizers. So just, safety first.
Yeah, I think about gloves and you need them, but it's just that taking away that sense of touch. Okay. Yeah. So what about container gardening?
Yeah. So this one is one that I do all the time. And so last year I decided to grow basil on my balcony and a lot of wildflowers. So I had hanging ones that go sort of like it hooks onto the balcony. So then I could have them in at chest level. So they're easy to manage. And especially if you have problems with bending over or kneeling, then those ones are really great for that. And you can get them. I've seen them in where you could have it looks like two sort of like grooved pots together, or you can get one that looks like it has like three spaces. So
right, yep.
They don't take up a lot of space and they hang, and then you can still have beautiful things. And you can do, if you don't have that, some people just have a windowsill. So you can do, consider things like recycling your takeout containers, your yogurt containers, just poke some holes in them and make sure they have a drip tray so that you don't have a lot of excess dirt and water all over the place.
So what would you say, like, when you really want to try to save the space? I mean, my buddy in his garden, I saw him using things like cinder blocks, old tires people use and stuff like that. Yep. But sometimes you really got to think about that, putting everything together to get that high intensity growing.
Right, exactly. So, some plants that do really well in small pots, like herbs, leaf lettuces, spinach, radishes, some flowers and plants do really well inside in the little garden, in the little pots. But, sometimes you may have to sort of think outside the box. And if you do have a little more space outside, maybe think about things like those unused giant paint buckets you can get at Home Depot. And with those, you can grow like a whack load of potatoes in a small accessible spot. And then, that's kind of a neat thing to have, and it's reusable.
That's amazing. And it really conserves the space because so many of us want to do something and have a postage stamp to work on.
Exactly. So anywhere you can maximize, maybe put in like a floating shelf that's near the window so that you can even just grow a couple of little things just to kind of help you feel like you're doing something and you're still getting that sensory aspect.
Yeah, something with some nice smells that fill the area. That is wonderful. Like you were describing with the wildflowers on your balcony, everything. So great, Leanne, thank you. Great topic to this month.
Yeah, glad to share.
We'll talk to you again next month. Appreciate it.
Have a great one, Kelly.
I'm Margaret Shepherd of the AMI podcast, Tripping On Air. Every month, my co-host Alex Hajar and I spill the tea on what it's really like to live with MS. Watch Tripping On Air on YouTube or download wherever you get your pods.